All right, so I'm so excited because we started this series called Four Words from the Cross. And those words are justice, freedom, purpose, and forgiveness. Last week, my brother Wally talked about justice. Did you guys like Wally? Oh, man, I'm so disappointed to hear that. No, I'm not. But today we're going to talk about freedom. You guys heard the saying, freedom isn't free? If you've been in the military, you've probably heard that. That phrase was actually coined by a retired Air Force colonel named Walter Hitchcock, who was part of the New Mexico airlift. That phrase was meant to express a gratitude for service members, for us to be able to thank them for the freedoms that we enjoy because of what the sacrifice that the military makes for us. It means everything to us, doesn't it? As a member of the United States, doesn't freedom mean a lot to us? But what really is freedom? What is it? Is it the ability to do whatever you want and say whatever you want when you want? Is it? Because we have a better word for that. That's called entitlement. Just because we have the freedom to say something, we also have a moral obligation of when or even if to say it at all. Amen? Then we have this definition of freedom that says the absence of subjection to a foreign domination or autocratic government. These are all comes from Webster, by the way. We fought against this in 1776 so that we would be free of the rule of King George. But then we have this. The state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. This makes sense, right? Freedom good, slavery bad, right? This makes sense. And you can see right now that within the definition of freedom, we have so many things that draw us into arguments because we all have passions about each and every one of these. So what is freedom? What is freedom? I have another definition I'd like you to consider today. And it's going to set the tone for the rest of our message. And it goes like this. It says, freedom is the state of not being subject to or affected by a particular undesirable thing. You see, as we approach today's topic, I want you to understand and consider three things about the works Jesus did on the cross as it pertains to freedom. The Bible has much to say about this. And it would be easy for us to just hang out in the New Testament because the Gospels, man, are full of what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? I want to take you back a little bit farther. A lot farther. Kind of all the way to the right. So if you guys will open up your Bibles today or whatever app you're going to be, if you swipe all the way over to the book of Genesis, we're not going to be there. You guys look confused. If you once you get to Genesis, if you'll swipe one chapter over to Exodus, we're going to hover in Exodus today, and we're going to be in chapter 12, and we're going to talk about the Passover. Because there's much to say that we can learn from the Jewish Passover. You see, as we approach Easter, it is only by the shedding of blood, only by the shedding of blood, that we can have freedom. And it's because of Jesus that we have freedom from bondage, we have freedom from death, but we also have freedom for a new beginning. Will you pray with me? Father God, Lord, we come before you today thanking you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have as part of this great nation. But yet, Lord, we know that that's not the only type of freedom that you wish us to have. God, as we open our hearts and minds to you today, Lord, help us to understand. Let us look to the past, Lord, so that we can define the present and hope for the future. Father, as your word teaches us about what true freedom is and where true freedom lies. So, God, we thank you for this day. We just ask that you bless our service. God, open our hearts and our minds and our ears so that we hear and we are convicted by your Spirit. Lord, purge us of all things, Lord, that we come here with today, Lord, so that we can concentrate solely upon the word that you have for us today. And all this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be in chapter 12, and only five verses. Did you guys see that QR code? Can you go back up there to the first for me, Alan? This QR code, Ridgeview is actually trying to step into the 21st century. I just want you to know, it's a big step for us, by the way. This QR code, if you'll shoot this with your smartphone, it will take you to a PDF document that has my sermon notes on it. So you guys will have about five pages of my sermon notes, including the passages with some key text. We're trying this out right now, and if it works, for those of you that don't have smartphones, we'll be able to print some copies out there so that you'll have hard copies, okay? So bear with us. We're still in a learning curve. Now I'm going to step back over here. Oh, hold on. Did it work?
No.
Look. This is awesome. But while you guys are doing that, I'm actually going to read from the book. All right, Exodus chapter 12. It starts out with the Passover. I'm going to start in verse 2. I'm going to read verse 2 and 3. I'm going to skip down to verse 6 and 7, and I'm going to end with verse 13. So if you're ready, let's start with this. It says, this month shall for you be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to his father's houses, a lamb for a household. Let's skip down to verse 6. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. Skip down to verse 13. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall to you or destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So let's talk about the freedom from bondage. It says this month it'll be a new passage. It will be the first month. Tell all the congregation of Israel, the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to his father's houses, a lamb for the household, and you shall keep it till the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly shall kill their lambs at twilight, and then they shall take the blood, and they will put it on the doorposts and the lintels, and the blood shall be a sign. And the blood shall be a sign. You see, the Passover was a time when God freed Israel from the bondage of Egypt, right? We know this story. We've heard it. We've read it. You see, the place that God had used to spare his people right from famine, he had taken them from famine and he had sent them to Egypt. And now all of a sudden the place that he had sent them to protect them had become a place of entrapment. And all those people had been enslaved for 400 years, and all of a sudden they felt like God had abandoned them, and what was going on, and why wasn't there? And the whole time that they're talking about this, God is working behind the scenes, and he's preparing from the cradle a man named Moses. From the cradle, even as God was preparing him, what happened? Moses felt completely, completely inadequate for the calling that God had placed upon him. You remember, he was supposed to go speak truth to God's truth and deliverance to the people, and the Bible said that he couldn't even talk. Yet the more he saw God behind him, the more confident he became in speaking. Moses had been bound by his own fears, and yet through God, he was free to speak with the power of the Lord. And he comes up here, it's like, wow. I mean, because he walked in there, and like he had Aaron, and yet, set my people free. Is it any different than what's going on today? We're not much different. We have our fears. We have our doubts. We're ashamed. We have these things that we're ashamed in our past. And the whole time that we're sitting in church, right, that old devil is coming against us. And he says things to us like how worthless we are, or how weak we are, or that our prayers aren't good enough. Or you're such a bad person that God doesn't even listen to your prayers anymore. Because if he loved you, he would have answered your prayers. All this time, and he's doing nothing but trying to keep us in bondage, knowing that the Lord is the one who can set us free, and he's doing everything he can to separate us from that. And yet God comes to remind us that I got something way better. God sent his son Jesus to remind us that there's more. That there's more. Remember when Jesus first started out his ministry, he walked into the synagogue and he preached his first sermon, and the guys clocked over there and they hand him a scroll, and he says, sure, I'll read this. And he opens it up and Luke says this. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and to recover sight for the blind and to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came to set us free. He came to tell us that we can be free. You see, the freedom we seek is from the things that hold us back. And all that stuff, that's what lies in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. The healing we seek comes from the wounds on his. He was pierced for our transgressions, right? He was crushed for our iniquities. And by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are made free. To see the freedom that we're talking for lies solely in his death, burial, and resurrection and our belief in him. That's the thing that sets us free. That's how we become free from the things that hold us back, no matter what they are. So we have this freedom from bondage through Christ's work on the cross, but we also have this thing, we have a freedom from death. Verse 23, I'm going to go back and read verse 23 for you, because this is another pass where Moses actually goes out and tells the people. You see, God told Moses what he was going to do. Now Moses is going to go out and tell the people the same thing that the Lord told him. And he said this. He says, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts. And the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. I don't know how much you guys have followed this thing in the Passover. But what I want you to see here, Egypt faced death, right? You know who else faced death? The Israelites. They faced the same death as the Egyptians, yet should they choose not to obey what Moses told them. If there was no blood on their doorpost, if there was no blood on the lintel, the Lord would not pass over. They faced the same death if they had denied the firstborn male, including the firstborn male of all their animals, would succumb to death as the same as the Egyptians. The Lord says, choose a lamb that is without blemish. And so they were to sacrifice that lamb, and they were to take that lamb and the blood, and they were painted on the lintel and on the two doorposts. And it was done. So everyone, not just that family, but everyone who gathered in that house would be spared from the angel of the death. The Lord promised that when he saw the shed blood of the sacrifice, that he would pass over that house, and those within it would be spared. Jesus walked into this earth as a man, came as a man. And yet the book of Hebrews tells us this. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy them, him who holds the power over death. And that is the devil. I don't want to get all Baptist on you here, you know. But I always wonder sometimes why folks stopped coming to church. This is a good message, right? So death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus is a good message. So I was trying to figure out why some folks don't come, and you know what I found out? There's actually people who don't come to church because they ran out of peanut butter. Let me say that again. There's people who don't come to church because they ran out of peanut butter. I read this thing. I want to share a few things with you about it. You know, they said, you know, if you took all the excuses that people had for not coming to church and you applied them to, say, oh, I don't know, an Illinois basketball game. Y'all see where I'm going with this, right? It would look something like this. Well, I had to stop going to the ball games because every time I went to the game, they would always ask for money. And I had to stop going to the ball game because all the other fans didn't care about me. And I had to stop going to the ball games because the seats were just too hard. And, you know, I really had to stop going to those ball games because sometimes the ball games went into overtime and then I was late for dinner. Sometimes I quit going to those games because sometimes the coach just talks too long. Matter of fact, I know more than the coaches do anyway. See, these are all lies that the devil tells us to stop hearing God's love for us. As we said earlier, he lies about our worth, and he lies about his love for us. He tells us that we have to earn our way into heaven. He tells us that there are other ways that we can get to God. He tells us so many falses. And yet God says, this is my son. This is my son who came and humbled himself and remained throughout his whole entire life without sin, because one day he knew that he would have to lay down his life, that he would have to give his life so as a ransom for many. He came so that we might live. And not just to have an abundant life, not just in this life, but in the life to come. You see, Jesus walked out of that tomb and death no longer became a barrier. The writer of Hebrews goes on and says, and free to those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Can I just tell you this? We have a fear that our fear of death is a bondage to our life. The fear that we have of death is a bondage in our life. You see, not only can we have an abundant life in this life, but through our belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can have an abundant life in the life to come. Jesus Christ went to the cross, man, for our freedom, to give us the freedom to just to get over the fear, man, of death. Not just to have a freedom from the fear of death, but able to be rejoiced in the death that's to come. So that we can enjoy, we can sit at his feet, worship in his glory. See, that Jesus, the man, was perishable, right? And when he died and walked out of the grave, all of a sudden he became imperishable. The robes of mortality. He was clothed in mortality, and all of a sudden now he wears the robe of the immortal. The Bible says death was swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Praise God, we no longer bound to this earth, but get to have the freedom to experience the eternal life in the presence of the Lord. We're going to have communion today. I could probably just stop right now and everything would be good, right? I'm not going to because I got time to make up from last week. You okay with that? Scriptures teach us that freedom means having a new beginning is too, right? Having a new beginning. Isn't that what this whole thing is? That's why we give our life to Christ, right? So we become a new creation. Our first two words here, it said this, verse 2, it said, this month, the day of the Passover, this month for you will be the beginning of months. You hear that? This month shall be the first month of a year for you. We skip over that part because we can get into the whole like blood on the door, man, an angel of death coming through, and yet God says, no, man, we're going to stop the calendar right here. And today, I'm going to put a new calendar down for you because we're starting all over. Today, I'm going to make it all right. Everyone else, we get to celebrate on January 1st, right? By the way, just out of curiosity, what's today, April? April something something? How many of you guys have made it to April with your New Year's resolutions? Yeah. Yeah, girl, you're the only one. That's awesome. Yeah, it's not something we do, right? We on January, December 31st, January 1st, right? We look to the past and we say, man, I messed up last year, but I'm going to try to change this year. Thank you, Tony. And yet, here's God saying the same thing to Egypt. We had all this stuff, 400 years, all this stuff in the past, but today we're going to start fresh. Today we're going to start fresh. And it's not, don't let it be lost on you that the very first day of the new year of the new month started with the sacrifice of a lamb. It started with the shedding of blood. A lamb for God. Remember when John was ministering and he was baptizing people and he looked up and he saw Jesus and he said what? Behold. Behold the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world so that we can all be made new, so that we can all have a new beginning. Paul reminds us that the wages of sin is death, but this wonderful gift of eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. But our new beginning is so much more. Our new beginning gives us access to God where we had none before. Our new beginning means to become a new creation. Our new beginning means we have the right to be called sons and daughters and heirs. It means that we can cry out to God and be made holy and righteous despite our failings. That is what it means to have a new beginning. The Apostle Paul said this in the letter to his Ephesians. He said, surely you have heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self created in God in true righteousness and likeness. That is an awesome new beginning. A pardon. We've been granted this pardon. And when we accept Christ, we get to put off our old self and we get to put on a new self. Our newness is because of the atoning sacrifice that Jesus went to the cross for us to give us this opportunity to new creation. Billy Graham said, becoming anew in Christ is a wonderful new beginning. But it isn't the end of pain or problems in our life. When we all accepted Christ, we began a pilgrimage. Every day was going to be something new, right? Every day. Being a Christian means every day we have to face new decisions. Some may be difficult. Some may require hard work. But listen. I want you to hear what the scriptures say about this journey, this pilgrimage that we're on. And I want you to see how God preserves us even though that we are struggling sometimes, that we struggle. And God says, I still love you and I care for you. And this is what it says in the book of Deuteronomy at the end of the 40 years, right? At the end of the 40 years, they're fixing to cross over into the promised land. And God's showing them that thing is good and everything is right. And he says this in chapter 8. He says, the whole time you guys were wandering in the desert, as you're making your pilgrimage to the promised land, the whole time, your clothing did not wear out. And your foot did not swell. Let that sink in. That God perseveres within us so, and he helps us to persevere so much that even throughout our journey, we will not wear out. It's a reminder that as we're on this journey, man, as we're exploring these new beginnings, that the Lord sustains us and he is sufficient for every stage of our life journey. Every stage he's sufficient for us. Every time. New beginnings are not just something that happens once for us. It's something that happens for us every hour of every day. And it only comes through Jesus Christ. So let me start to land this airplane so we can prepare for communion, okay? Did you guys know that in 1887, that's a long time ago, that was even like after the New Testament, by the way. 22 years after the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln, did you guys know that they dug up his coffin to find out if he was really in it? And he was. Do you know 12 years later they did it again just to make sure? And he was still in the coffin. He's still dead. As great a man as Lincoln was, he had witnesses to prove that he was dead. If one of our presidents or another leader of our government were to cry out today for Lincoln for help, they wouldn't get an answer. If scientists were able to cry out to Einstein for help today, there'd be an empty silence. If someone were to call out Muhammad, or Buddha, or Gandhi, there would be no response. Sacrifice that Christ gave to us on the cross at Calvary gives us the ability to overcome things that hold us back, things that bind us. It is in the shed blood of Christ that cleanses us of our sin. It is by his death, burial, and resurrection that granted us the freedom that we have. And it's accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior that gives us freedom for this new beginning. Tony, we're going to start our time of response.